Welcome back to the podcast, you beautiful souls. I have a beautiful soul with me today. I have Sabina MX. She's going to pronounce her name correctly in a second because it's got a beautiful accent on it. A beautiful mindset coach. She is all into mindset, manifestation, travel, relationships, self-growth, and creating a life that aligns with your highest values. Now, for anyone that knows me well, that is very much aligned with who I am and what I love doing. So really looking forward to hearing more about you today, connecting with you today, and thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me and pushing me a little bit out of my comfort zone coming here.
Yeah.
I love the intro and my last name. I feel like MX, it just makes things a little bit easier. The real name is Moitrox, but you don't pronounce half of the word, so it's Moitrox, but no one gets it right. So
I love it. I appreciate it. And I butcher most people's names without an accent or a different language. So I thought the MX would be sufficient. So Sabina, thank you for being here. I really do appreciate it. My question for you, well, we'll go into your story after this question. Like, obviously, we've connected in person with your beautiful partner, Zach, and there was a bit of fear about coming here today, about jumping on a podcast and sharing your story. And I'd love to know, what was that like for you, just sort of leaning into the fear for someone who is on her own self-growth journey, who's helping yourself, you're helping others? What's it been like for you to lean into your own fear today and show up here today?
Yeah, I just love that I was sharing that I have a little bit of fear of speaking on my Instagram or my stories. And you, so you are like, let's come on the podcast. So it's like a really big step, but I'm so glad to be here now. And I hope it inspires people as well to just, you know, really get out of their comfort zone and just do things like that. For me, I feel like it's not that I'm really afraid of speaking. It was more that I was avoiding it because I felt like I had an accent. When I came to Australia, I just felt like I just couldn't articulate things the way I really wanted. Sometimes it can sound a little bit harsh the way I say things, just because I am from Germany. So I was avoiding it for a long time and it became a much bigger thing than it actually was. And I feel like with fear, it's not the actual thing we're afraid of. It's more what we think it's going to happen. And the more you avoid it, it feels like a threat to your brain. So if you actually keep doing it, that's what I'm doing now. And I'm focusing on this year. Just keep doing it until it just becomes a habit and it's just not a big thing anymore.
That's beautiful. Really, really well articulated. What was it? If you were to go really micro on that, I know it can or can't be a small example, but from the moment where I threw it out there, because you mentioned there was something like a fear of like talking on your story. So I was like, you know what, let's just jump on the podcast. Let's just rip the bandaid off. So from the moment of you actually hearing that and maybe whatever came up for you to actually be here today, was there like some self-talk that went on? Was there like some sort of internal coaching on yourself? Like what made you go from what I saw anyway, is that initial sort of like fear response to being here right now? What was that like for you to maybe share some lessons along the way for other people who I guarantee experience the same thing?
For me, it was honestly just doing it. I was just thinking, I want to actually challenge myself. Like in the last few months, I did a lot of new things, like salsa dancing, for example. And it doesn't sound like a big thing, but if you actually put yourself in a completely new environment where you have no idea what's going to happen, and if you have to dance with someone else that you don't know, you have to learn all these new things, it's actually so interesting to see how you are in such an environment. How do you show up? Do you just say, oh no, I'm bored, I'm not going to go ahead, or are you going to keep pushing through until you become better? Because that was for me, it was really uncomfortable at the start, but I kept pushing through and it became a lot easier. I was a lot more confident. And I think it's like that with anything you do. Like you just don't have to be afraid of being bad at something initially, because you just keep doing it and you just get better at it. Like with you, you've been doing the podcast for a little while and now it's just so much easier for you. I'm sure it was a little bit of a challenge in the beginning, but the more you keep doing it, the better you get.
Love it.
And yeah.
Beautiful. Hey, let's go into your story. I don't know your story. We're talking just before we click record, and it's not something that I think you've shared very publicly or not much at all. So I'd love to hear your story. Obviously, I know very small pieces of it from our little conversations we've had, but yeah, what's the story of Sabina?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I don't really share the full story. I feel like it's more like what I'm doing right now, but no one really knows, okay, where is she from? Like, what is she doing? So I feel like I need to share my story a little bit more. I'm originally from Uzbekistan. So I was born in the capital city of Uzbekistan, which is a huge city, completely different than any the Western cities that I know, completely different to Australia, completely different life. And I lived there until I was 6 years old. Had a pretty nice life, to be honest. Like, it was really wholesome. We didn't have much money at all. So completely different life. And then when I was 6 years old, my mom moved me to Germany. That's where I grew up. And I feel like I'm German now. So it's like my mother tongue now as well. I feel no one knows that I'm not from Germany. But at coming to a different country at such a young age, I felt like I always had the ability to observe how different everything is. So instead of like, this is just how things are, I could see, and I was questioning all the time, why are they so different? Why are things the way they are? And I just never understood it. And I always, and as you said in your event on the weekend, actually, the void drives the value. I felt like moving from such a big city into a tiny hometown in Germany, it just, yeah, I just always wanted the freedom. I felt like really restricted. I felt like I didn't have any say in what to do because I have experienced the freedom before. And then living in Germany, I just could see, I felt like everyone was doing the same thing. And I thought, if I stay here, if I stay in my hometown, I'm just gonna create the same life that everyone else around me does. And I've always knew I wanted to live somewhere where I want to be. I didn't know it was Australia at the time at all. I just never thought about Australia. I just knew I want to be by the beach in a beautiful environment with people who are more like-minded like me, because I also felt very different, and I was really different coming from such a different culture. So yeah, and that's what ultimately led me to leave Germany and permanently move to Australia, and I'm permanent resident now. And yeah, I'm just creating the life that I've always wanted.
Beautiful. How old were you when you, firstly, thank you for opening and sharing those parts of you. What brought you to Australia? Why Australia? How old were you? And what was the decision to come over here?
Yeah, so first it was just a semester abroad. So I was still studying. I was just doing the whole thing, like going to school, getting a degree and things like that. And then I decided to do 1 semester abroad just to get better at my speaking English and things like, and experience a different culture. Because by that time, I forgot about moving. It didn't seem like a possibility anymore. I was like, I forgot about all that. And then I moved to Australia for 1 semester initially. And yeah, guess who was my roommate? The
No way.
first guy, one of the first guys I met in Australia was Zach. And I mean, I still didn't really expect to stay in Australia. So that kind of happened. And I just didn't have, it just all manifested in the way that I just couldn't have planned at all. And I just tried to resist it for a long time. So I still kept going back and forth between both countries. But yeah,
So,
finally
what was the
ended up here.
resistance for staying or going? Like, what was the resistance?
Well, there was still me freaking out that I have to go get a real job and get a career. So there was always that kind of feeling that I always had. I'm like, I can't just stay in Australia and just do all these things. I have to, like, I have the degree. I have to do, you know, I worked in business consulting and like all these serious, like the corporate jobs and things like that. So I felt like always I had to go back. Otherwise, I would be. Yeah, I just wouldn't be good enough. I just had to do what I was meant to do. But going back to Germany, I noticed how much I have changed and how much traveling has just shown me you can be so many versions of yourself, and you really get so caught up in where you live and your environment that when you actually go travel and you meet different people and you see all the possibilities, it's so hard to go back and yeah, not to go back to the life that you had before.
Love it. You use certain words like manifestation, like mindset, like you felt like you weren't good enough. I obviously love mindset. That's a big piece of who I am and what I do. I'd love to know what started your journey into self-development. Was it through meeting Zach? Were you doing it? Was your parents into it? Like, what sort of started your journey into self-growth or self-development? And yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, To be honest, I've always felt different. It was really funny because I grew up in Uzbekistan, which was we didn't have any money at all, but I've always known I want more. Like I just had that feeling. I knew I wanted more. I was going to get it one way. I just knew it, and I was meant for more. We were all meant for more. And so I always had it in me. And then when I was a teenager, I read the book The Secret, of course, or I watched the movie. Yeah, I think I watched the movie, but anyway, it felt like remembering something. So I felt like this is true. This is right. I knew it was right. I just knew, even though it was super dramatic, the movie, but I knew it was right. I applied it immediately because as a kid, I used to manifest a lot of things. I feel like as a kid, you have that playful energy. So it's kind of some could be easy to manifest things much easier. And I used the secret to manifest my weight loss. So I lost a lot of weight and then I knew, okay, this is working. I know there's something about that. So that's how my journey started.
Beautiful. And you said manifesting weight loss. What do you mean by that? Like, maybe if you can define in your terms how you view that, because that's a term that gets like not overused. You could maybe say overused, but it gets used a lot in the self-growth and self-development. And for people that are sort of on the other side of the bridge, they're like, oh, it's just bullshit. It's just like, yeah, cross your fingers, wait for a Ferrari to rock up in your driveway, right? So for you, what's your view on it, from who maybe back then and what it is now? And like you said, you were manifesting so easily. What does that mean? When what does that look like?
So for with the weight loss, it was more like when I was at that age as a teenager, I had an eating disorder. I would always, when I felt upset, I would always eat and just keep eating. But then I would feel so guilty about it and I would feel horrible about myself. I tried diets, which it's crazy as a teenager, but I just had so many adults kind of telling me, oh, you should lose some weight, you should lose some weight. So it kind of got into my mind and I started feeling all these emotions. And then when I watched The Secret, there was this one thing someone said that they love their body. So just love your body. And it's something just resonated with me. Then I realized how much guilt I have. And then I just started to kind of visualize my dream body. I started to feel it. And then like it's really hard to describe it because it was such a playful energy that I just had. And I just stopped having all this guilt. So I just stopped having all these diets. I stopped trying so hard to lose weight. And I was just trying to be more present, just feeling my body. And I started to go on more walks. I started to just enjoy the chocolate that I did have. So it would completely take out all the guilt away. I just wouldn't feel, and every time I had a chocolate, I would enjoy it. And then I just really healed my eating disorder and, as you said, manifested. I just use the word manifested. For me, manifestation just means that you decide, you just get clear on something that you want. And if you place your intention of something that it is that you want, instead of placing your intention of what you don't want or what's not working, then you obviously get what you want. But manifestation from your couch and doing nothing and hoping something will pop up is probably the worst way to manifest anything. So, wouldn't recommend doing that.
Love it, love it. So, how do you balance it personally? Because there's kind of like I kind of not take the piss, but I use the example of when I'm talking to some clients who are potentially interested in working with me, and I say like there's a bit of a spectrum. You've got kind of like on the far left or right, you've got like you have very spiritual people who are pretty much levitating all day and just manifesting things, and they generally have no money to pay their bills. And then you've got on the far other end, you've got these like high level business coaches who are all about systems and processes and numbers and marketing and KPIs and all this stuff. And generally, they're very miserable. They're so broke, all they have is money. So, for you, for yourself, who seems like a very energetic, sweet, beautiful energy in who you are, how do you balance pretty much what you said is, or you wouldn't recommend to sit on your couch and cross your fingers and manifest stuff? How do you balance it with yourself of actually getting clear on what it is that you want, setting that intention towards what you want, putting that energy towards what you want, but also putting in work and taking action? How do you balance that yourself?
I think we had the conversation as well one time with the where people say you should just work harder, don't worry about the manifestation, where I really don't agree, but changing your mindset is really hard if you just sit around and you hope something's gonna come up, because it's really hard. Like if you want to really change your mindset, you have to go out, you have to do something different, otherwise you just keep creating the same. And you just create more frustration if you just sit on the couch and nothing works, and you just also feel guilt. You will feel, because you know you're sitting on a couch and you have the feeling, oh, you should be doing something. So maybe for some people, maybe they do need to step away and just, you know, unsubscribe from everything and just do a bit more meditation. But usually, if you just do the best work, if you, yeah, go out and you try something new, you just get to know yourself a little bit better.
Love it, love it. You just mentioned you just mentioned meditation. What do you do daily? What's like not necessarily daily, but daily, weekly, monthly? What do you do to practice? I like the term energy hygiene, to look after your hygiene and keep your energy well and healthy, which ties into manifesting, ties into mindset. What's your sort of daily, weekly routines look like to look after you?
Yeah, I love that too. I just also wanted to say, like from before, I feel like mindset work isn't like adding more to it. It's mostly kind of uncovering the layers and getting back to who you are. And in the beginning, you might just want to try different things and just see what works best for you. Like what not, I would always recommend meditation just because I really believe in unsubscribing from all the noise. I just really feel like we're just constantly on our phones. Everyone's always talking, everyone's always saying things, and you think you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But if you actually just start doing meditation, just drop into your body, unsubscribe from everything, unsubscribe for the noise, and you really get to know on what you want, and you start actually connecting with your intuition. I think that's really important. And I really think that the most successful people have a strong connection with their intuition. They're not just go, 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 but they're also have a strong connection with the intuition. So for me, it's just really discovering what works for you, because it's different for everyone. It's different for everyone. But are you doing a 2-hour morning routine to just trying to avoid something? You just have to be honest with yourself. It's just important to find practices to make you feel the best for the day. And if something isn't working for you, try something different. And I really think you get really that better at it. You might need more work in the beginning. You might need When, but then it becomes so much easier, so much easier, and you can get back to that point quicker. You just don't need to do that much work to just go back into your body.
And what does that look like for you? So, do you do it in the morning, 20 minutes, do it in the afternoon? Like, what's your meditation routine look like?
Yeah, so I'll do it in the morning. I love my morning routine, going on my beach walks, as you probably know. I love listening. So when I wake up, I just would do a meditation immediately. I've just recorded something myself because I
Awesome.
wanted
Love that.
something specific. And I just want to, before I get up, I want to drop into the gratitude, because sometimes when we wake up, I just think about the things I need to do that day or whatever's coming up. So I just want to start my day just feeling the gratitude. And then I usually have breakfast, go out for my morning walk. I love doing my walking meditation as well. There's one really good one by Joe Dispenza. I'm just really big on visualizing. For me, that's a really big thing. And if I just use the morning to visualize what I want my day to look like, and what I want to achieve, it's just for me the best way to start it. And then I like to do a meditation sometimes in midday, just if I feel like it's too much noise
Yeah.
or I've been on social media too much, just because it's one of the jobs that I do is the social media managing and creating content. So I just do a little meditation as well.
Love it. I love Joe Dispenza. He's
Yeah.
pretty. I think he's number one in the world for bridging the sort of mystical and the science world together, like, and having all the
Yes.
science to back up the manifestation, the visualization, the walking meditations. I haven't done them in a while,
Yeah.
but I have gone through phases. I kind of go through phases of shit that I do and
Yes.
then stop doing and keep doing. With your routine outside of meditation, what else do you do for your own, for yourself, for Sabina?
Yeah. Well, I think physical exercise is just really important. I can't believe that 2 or 3 years ago, I wasn't even doing regular exercise. I can't believe it, because now it's just, I need to do it every day. I feel like moving your body, like I've always got my steps in, but I just didn't have a regular routine. So find something that you enjoy. For me at the moment, it's Pilates and adding some weight training. So just find something that you enjoy, and you just know you will feel so much better. Like, you will feel a lot better when you actually go and move your body, even if before that you don't feel like it. So yeah, I'm really big on that. I really like breath work as well, just because I think most of us, we're just not breathing in the right way. We all have the really short breath. So I would also recommend having a look into that. That's what I also started doing. It made a huge difference.
Love it. Love it. Love it. I'd love to go relationships. So you've got a beautiful relationship with Zach. You guys have been together for a while. We'll start quite broad and then I've got some more specific questions for you. But how's the journey of being in a relationship? What's that been like for you?
It was a crazy journey, to be honest, because so we've been dating for 8 years now. It's insane. And we moved together. We moved to Germany and we moved back to Australia. And then I needed to go back to Germany. So Zach moved back to Germany with me. He's fluent in German. So
That's good.
he's really like he lived there with me. And then we came back to Australia. So we had a lot of we have probably moved over 17 times. So I feel like that really people don't know how much work you really need like to be with someone through all of these things. And also me being international in the beginning was very hard with the language barrier. But I think that the key for us was doing growth. We both really prioritize growth, and I feel like having similar values and similar goals, that has always been the key for us. We just love doing what we call our night walks. We do it almost every single day. It's been a tradition for years now. We just go on our night walks and we talk about our goals. We talk about our dreams. We plan everything and we just talk about the big vision, the future. And that really, I feel like just, yeah, the commitment to the growth and what we want to create in our lives, that's has been such a big thing.
Powerful, very powerful. What's it been like along your growth journey? Like I talk a lot about relationships, and some people think I'm a relationship coach. I don't see myself as that, but I see my work that the work I do shows up a lot in relationships around self-growth, around it revealing your triggers, around you guys showing each other your shadows, and that's how you can work through that and heal through that. So, what's it been like for you, for someone who's been on your own growth journey for a long time now? How have you seen the process of you continuing to work on yourself and then how that manifests and shows up in your relationship?
No, I love that. The thing with shadow work is if you are really close to someone with the close relationship, it's hard to hide the shadow. It's really hard to hide who you truly are. So, and something happens, it's like a big situation happens, that's when, you know, the shadow does come out. And I find it so interesting that the partner really has all your triggers and really reveals them at all times. We both, it's really funny because we both have our biggest triggers in each other. So it has been, but we have both been so willing to work through them. I think that has been the key for us. We knew about it, we were aware of it, and we just work on it. I feel like the communication is probably the most important thing, to just be open about it and not just talk about it and have the self-awareness, emotional intelligence to know, okay, this is my trigger. This is something I need to work through instead of getting defensive immediately and just withdrawing. Yeah, so I think communication and the willingness to grow together is just has been really important.
Love it. How do you guys do it? Like, if you're, you don't have to go super detailed, say what you want to say, but how do you guys actually handle it? Let's say Zach triggers you or you trigger him. How do you guys actually communicate that? Because you're one of, not one of the few, but like, I would say healthy, conscious relationships are not the most common to come by. Like, there's a lot of people who are single, or there's a lot of people that are sort of just sort of cycling through the honeymoon. I say relationships have three stages: the honeymoon period, the triggered period, and then the sort of conscious growth period. And most people just cycle between stages one and two. I definitely see you guys as in stage three, where you're actually working through your stuff together. So if you're okay going there, what do you, how, say someone, say you trigger him or he triggers you, how do you guys actually communicate that? How do you hold space? How do you actually work through that so it doesn't just bottle up and eventually destroy the relationship, which is what happens to most people?
Yeah, no, I love that. I feel like we are definitely at stage three, but sometimes we still go through stage two.
Yeah.
And I think by now we just have such a process of Like there's we know all our triggers, like we know them already. We've been together for such a long time, so we know them already. And just it's just the communication and just being open and trying not to judge as well, and just be like curious about it. But also, yeah, doing the mindset work together, going to events together. Like I'm so grateful that Zach is also really willing to learn, because I think that's the big thing. If one of the partners isn't really willing to grow with you, it's just gonna be really, really hard. I think that's what's coming. But also sometimes for us, it's sitting with it. So instead of I see a lot of couples, if something happens, they just go immediately and just talk about it with their friends, things like that. But I sometimes when something happens, I just sit with it, I process it. That's what we both do. And then we talk about it together instead of, yeah, making it a big deal.
Really, what would you, if you were to give some advice to some couples, because I definitely agree, they either just sort of go straight to friends or family, which is okay, I guess, in some circumstances, maybe need some support, maybe that you're not sure how to handle it. Or some people just suppress it and just like move on and just sweep it under the rug. So is there any other advice that you'd have for couples to be able to work through their stuff together, to grow together, to heal together, and actually have a beautiful long-term relationship?
No, and as you said, there's definitely a time and a place where something's going on, you need to go out and actually, get some help for that. But in general, I think it's just communication and yeah, just the willingness for both to grow. I think that's the most important thing. Just having the shared values and doing like regular checkups and just going through and saying, okay, I would like more of this, or I can't. Yeah, it's just I feel like it just you have to find the person who's just willing to grow with you.
Love it, love it, love it. What do you love the most about mindset in terms of the coaching? Like in terms of helping others? Like I know we've had a couple of chats around you, and where you want to go with helping people long term. What is it that you it, what's the part about coaching people or helping people, empowering people, whatever word you want to insert there? What lights you up the most? If you were to impact someone or give back to someone, what's the part that lights you up the most about that?
I just honestly I love observing people, and just sometimes I feel like as a if you're outside you can see blind spots and you can see this person has this belief, and it's just so interesting because sometimes I'm thinking you are amazing, why do you keep holding yourself so small? And obviously as a coach, as you don't directly say it, you just ask question to bring it out and make the person realize themselves. But I feel like that is my favorite process, to just see where they have the limiting beliefs and just working through them. And the moment someone realizes where this is coming from, and it was actually not a big thing, and actually they made it up, and it was something in their childhood that's still holding them back today. I just feel like that is my favorite part
Beautiful.
about
What was some
coaching.
of yours? What were some of the big ones for you that you've worked through?
For me, if I look back on my oldest, I played, my goals were so small. Like they were so small. And now I'm looking back, I wasn't so much lack and scarcity, and I just didn't know about it. I thought I'm dreaming big, but it wasn't anything. Like we just constantly limit ourselves, even though we are limitless. We can achieve anything we want, but we just keep thinking that we can't. And it's, or other people can, but not me. And we just said, I just looking back, I set such tiny, tiny goals. And I did manifest a lot of them, but I'm looking back, I should have had much bigger goals, not limit myself so much. There's so many opportunities these days. And if we just do the part that we back then worked, we're just gonna not create the best life that we can.
What are your goals now?
Well, a lot more travel. A lot more travel. Investing as well is a big thing this year. I want to also see where it goes with the business. I want to do more mindset coaching this year, and I enjoy content creation, so I want to keep doing that as well.
Love it. Love it. If you were to write a book, Sabina, and you can only leave three messages in there, or three lessons, or three principles, or whatever you want to call it, three things to leave for the world, and it's the only things you can leave, what would that
I think the number one would be you are limitless. Like you are limitless. You can You can have anything you want. You are not limited to your past or what has been done. You can have anything you want. You are limitless. And guess number two, you are, it's a similar thing, but you do have the power to change. Like you do have the power to create the life that you want. I know it might sound a little bit cheesy, but people sometimes don't realize and how much power they actually do have to get themselves out of something that they don't want to be in. And there's a lot of things I want to say. What would be the
last one?
Get clear on what truly lights you up and just keep doing more of that.
Beautiful. A lot of alignment with you and me. I really love it. Really love it. One of the last ones before we wrap it up. What's something that you're currently working through? So what's something that you're still healing through, you're still processing, you're still growing with at the moment?
Yeah. I think for me, I'm still getting, like, discovering on who I really am. I'm trying to be more my authentic self. So I'm just, the conditioning is quite hard on some things, and I'm really working through them, of like letting go of the old version of myself and just really stepping into this new version. I feel like that's the hardest part with most people struggle, is really letting go of the old, and it's getting out of the in-between and just unapologetically stepping into the new version of yourself.
Love it.
So
love it, love it. Is there any other message? Oh, what was that? Sorry.
It's a continuous work, I guess, for everyone to do.
Yeah, I like the like in mathematics, they feel like that. I think it's called an exponential graph, where there's like the line never touches the x-axis, but it always gets closer and closer. It infinitely gets closer. That's how I see self-growth and healing. It's like, yes, when you first start, you generally have that big sort of hockey stick, where like you, if you've got any sort of big traumas, like mum or dad or whatever happened, you can obviously process that, those big ones earlier on. But then there's always those sort of micro little tweaks and little crevices, and that's where your relationship's going to be a good magnifying glass for that and show that to you. So yeah, totally agree. It's never ends. I've still got shit that triggers me, and Georgia happily reveals that for me. So there's always stuff to work through, right? So Sabina, is there any other message that you'd like to share with you, with my audience on this podcast today?
Well, just of what I said before, just get clear on what you want, get clear on what lights you up, and just you can just create the life that you want.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Sabina, if people want to connect with you, contact you, work with you, consume your content, where's the best place they can find you?
Yeah, well, currently it's mostly Instagram and TikTok. But Instagram, I'm the most active. I just love to create the content, and I hope to inspire people as well. So that's the best way to connect with me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. It's been awesome to connect with you, hear your story more, hear your value as well. And I can see you very much just starting to blossom more and more and starting to share this gift with others. So yeah, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.